our next presentation, Chief, is from Judge Brandlin on Riverside County.
Thank you, Chief, members of the Judicial Council. I visited the Riverside Superior Court on August the 12th and met with the presiding judge, Mark Cope, and the APJ, Harold Hopp, and Executive Officer Sam Hamrick, as well as most of the judicial officers of the Riverside Court who were attending a court-wide meeting in Beaumont. My last visit to this court was in May of 2013. As we know, the Riverside Superior Court is severely under-resourced. Their population and workload has expanded at a much faster rate than any other court in California. There are approximately 2.2 million people who reside in that county. Riverside Court was dramatically affected by the Great Recession and the drastic cuts in the judicial budget. Over the last 5 years, this court has had to close courthouses, reduce public services, and lay off employees, which has resulted in long travels and wait times for their residents to obtain basic judicial services. Fortunately, some of these facilities are now being replaced. The Larson Justice Center just opened two additional courtrooms in Indio. These were funded by the county as replacement courtrooms for two courts that were demolished in a new jail construction project. In addition, there are currently four other Riverside Courthouse construction projects in various stages. The Banning Justice Center construction project is well underway. This facility will consist of six courtrooms, and once the new facility opens, the older facility containing three courtrooms will close. Due to issues with the general and electrical contractors, completion of the courthouse is approximately a year behind schedule. Their projected move-in date is currently scheduled for January of 2015. The Indio Juvenile and Family Courthouse will consist of five courtrooms, which will replace two courts that will be demolished in the old facility and add an additional three courtrooms. This project is approximately 2 years behind schedule. The Judicial Council has replaced the previous architect with a new one, who I'm happy to report is energetic and working within the budgetary limitations placed on the project. The project size and scope was reduced by approximately 20% by the Construction Cost Reduction Subcommittee. The courthouse may be open in late 2017. The new Mid-County Civil Courthouse will replace the Hemet Courthouse. It will consist of nine courtrooms, replacing five in the old facility and adding four additional courts. It'll be located in Menifee. And after protracted negotiations with the site owner, an agreement has been reached and the project is moving forward. The Judicial Council had sought specific language in the agreement for acquisition of the land that the developer has finally agreed to. The size and scope of that project was reduced by approximately 20% by the Construction Cost Reduction Subcommittee. And then lastly, the Riverside County Courtroom Replacement Project consists of two juvenile courtrooms that are attached to the Southwest Juvenile Hall. The county is paying for those two courts in exchange for the courtroom space that was given up in Indio's annex last year. The construction of the new Indio jail involved the demolition of four courtrooms, two that have been replaced in Larson mentioned earlier. The remaining two will be replaced in this project. The project advisory group is working on the design and budgetary issues with the county, and it's estimated that the project will be completed in July of 2016. While the replacement of these antiquated courthouses will certainly help Riverside Court, it will not resolve their judicial deficit. According to a judicial workload analysis by Judicial Council staff, the Riverside Superior Court should have 138 judicial officers. Instead, they have 85 authorized positions, consisting of 62 judges, of which five are unfilled, which represents 8% of their bench, 14 commissioners, and nine AB 159 judges who have not yet been funded. I wish to emphasize that these 71 judges, or judicial officers, are processing the workload of 138. Riverside Court has the second highest workload in the state and the second highest disposition rate. Statewide statistics place the average combined judicial workload at approximately 3,800 cases per judicial officer. Riverside Court's average caseload, on the other hand, is 5,120 cases per judicial officer. While getting funding for AB 159 judges would certainly help, It alone will not close the gap between their authorized judicial allocation and their needs. As a stopgap measure, the Riverside Superior Court has relied heavily on our assigned judges program. In fact, other than Los Angeles, which has approximately 8 times as many judicial officers, Riverside uses more assigned judges than any other court. Last year, they used approximately 12% of the available statewide resources in the assigned judges program. Unfortunately, the assigned judges program cannot function as a complete safety net for them. While they greatly appreciate the assistance, they are mindful of the fact that they're required to come up with staff necessary to assist that retired judge. After my last visit to the Riverside Court, I asked Judicial Council staff whether the assigned judges program could be used for hiring retired clerks or annuitants to assist the retired judges. I was informed there was no current mechanism for paying for a clerk out of that fund. I related this information to their judges. One of the judges suggested to me that the remedy may require a rule change or a legislative fix, but it could be done as long as the Judicial Council had the political will to make it happen. While I believe that we, the Judicial Council, and the Chief should do what we can to provide as much support as possible for this severely under-resourced court, the fix may not be that simple. According to Judicial Council staff, the language in the budget item regarding staff support is ambiguous at best. Consequently, there is a lack of funding to be able to support both the assigned judges and the necessary clerical support staff. Secondly, even if there were adequate funding under the California Constitution, the assigned judges program falls under the purview of the chief and not the council. It appears the decision to authorize funding for clerical staff members is the chief's call, not the council's. Lastly, paying for staff out of the assigned judges program may provide temporary relief, but the real remedy is to provide full-time, funded, permanent judicial positions that come with staff, not part-time retired assigned judges for long-term chronic judicial vacancies. With regards to their budget, the Riverside Court had a deficit exceeding $20 million in 2013, which forced them to lay off employees, cut hours, close courtrooms and courthouses in order to make ends meet. Because of their foresight that the leaders put into action years ago, they're in a much better position today and have not had to lay off any additional employees, although they have had to limit court hours and reduce services. The Riverside Court benefited under WAFM. It increased their budget allocation by approximately $6 million. These judges wanted to know what will happen at the end of the 5-year WAFM phase-in period. Would they be capped at 50% of the historic model and 50% of the new model, or would they continue to receive additional funding? One judge commented to me privately that if WAFM was designed to correct the inequities in funding our respective courts, that the model should be entirely based upon workload statistics and totally ignore the historic funding measures. This judge felt that the current WAFM model is only a half measure. I suggested to him that the WAFM model had the unanimous support of the Judicial Council when it was approved, and we all recognized that it was painful for everyone. The donor courts who agreed to WAFM knew that they would be cut, but that it was necessary for the survival of our historically underfunded courts. The courts who would benefit from WAFM knew that they had to wait at least 5 years for the benefits of the new funding allocations to take maximum effect. Any earlier timetable would cause irreparable harm to donor courts if they didn't have the time to plan for the reduced allocation amounts. In closing, I'd like to add my humble opinion that WAFM was a historic advancement in equitably allocating judicial funding. It was demanded by the executive and legislative branches, and it is a cornerstone of the chief's blueprint to restore the judicial branch. Any changes to WAFM require great care not to unravel the advancements we've made as a branch to achieve this compromise amongst diametrically opposed viewpoints and needs. That concludes my report, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Brandlin. I wanted to jump in to say that I have greatly admired the hard work of Riverside County. I remember when Presiding Judge Ellsworth was presiding judge and was making daily calls and regular letters to the governor about appointing to vacancies and lobbying heavily for the additional judgeships. As many of you recall, in my first few years of State of the Judiciary, we pointed out, as well as you have pointed out, the dynamic population shift in California documented by the census of the change in the Inland Empire and the stress and tension. I believe even Michael Cohen yesterday alluded to on their radar this change in the dynamics and the population of California. I think that Riverside County has done tremendous work under amazing tensions, even as I confirmed just now with Judge Jarre, as I recall several years ago when I was a member on the Judicial Council when the strike force team of judges, I believe Judge D'Alba, you were part of that strike force, who went to Riverside based on a confluence of factors, including backlog, not under the control of that court. That court has been challenged with issues not under their control and not of their making, and they have worked with counsel to that end to bring the problems to us to try to find a way to remedy those. In terms of the assigned judges program, it is true that Article 6, Section 6 of the California Constitution provides the Chief Justice the authority to assign, and there is a budget line item for that program. And the language of the use of that money is murky at best. But the point of the assigned judges program is to assign judges. And in the last four years of my tenure, the surplus or the balance has been erratic. So we haven't been able to tell what it is courts need and what their primary need for judges really is stably across the board. So we haven't been able to discern what money could there even be available if we were able to use any portion of that for clerical staff to assist the assigned judge. So we are continuing to look into that issue. We think, as you pointed out, the greater challenge is to get the governor to understand the population growth and shift and the need, the commensurate need and the increase in caseload that is identifiable, that is quantifiable, and that we prove in our blueprint. So I appreciate that, and I'd like just to let the Riverside Court know that they're always in our thoughts about the challenges they face that's not under their control.